Hello, fellow Rebel Capitals. Hope you're well. Wanted to do a quick update from St. Bart's. I've been meeting with a good friend of mine who I talk about on this channel quite frequently. We all know him as Steve, not his real name. He's a very incognito type of guy, likes to remain private, so I don't disclose his identity. But we've been talking about trading for the last couple days, about 3 hours yesterday, about 3 hours today. And I wanted to give you guys some updates, just as I said I would. And I think what I'm going to do is another deep dive webinar this Friday and combining all the things I'm learning and then going over what I've learned in greater detail. So those seem to be very popular. So Josh, let's just write it down. Let's do it this Friday, 2 p.m. Eastern time. That usually works well. Actually, let me check my schedule for Friday, make sure that's good. Yeah, that's good. So go ahead and write that down. 2 p.m. Eastern time, we'll be doing a deep dive webinar on everything I learned this week. But let's go over some of the things that, some of my notes from the last couple of days. The first thing I want to talk about is, first and foremost, this is all about trading. So if you guys haven't followed the story, in Rebel Capitalist Pro, I have had a model portfolio for quite some time that was based on that 10-80-10 strategy that I have, but that's very long term. And what I call this strategy, it's kind of like a Black Friday type of strategy. And I use that based on how my sister used to buy my nieces all of their stuff for the entire year on Black Friday. And she would get basically a watch list. She'd write down the list of every single thing that they needed for the next year. And then they would wait after Thanksgiving dinner. They'd get all ready. They'd get prepared. They'd wake up at like 3 o'clock in the morning or whatever it was. And they would drive out to the outlet malls outside of Las Vegas and they would do all their shopping. And that's basically what I do. So whether it was buying real estate in 2012, whether it was buying Cyprus in, was that 2013, 14, right around there, whether that was buying stocks during the Cerveza sickness, it's the same concept. You're just writing down what you would like to own at what price, and then you sit there and wait, usually in gold and T-bills is what I've done. And it's great now at the T-bills because you're getting paid 5% is rolling those things over, and you've got really no interest rate risk. You're only buying 1 month, 3 month T-bills, et cetera. But what I wanted to do is set up another portfolio because I know this isn't that strategy isn't applicable to everyone because each person has different objectives and different priorities for their portfolio. And I've got a lot of respect for not only research analysts, but especially for guys and gals that are actually out there in the trenches, putting billions of dollars to work on a daily, weekly, monthly basis. And what these guys and gals have to do is worry about a monthly P&L. They can't sit there and do what I do and say, well, I'm just going to buy stocks once every 3 years when something crashes. That's not realistic. So they've got to figure out how to somehow make a return that outpaces the S&P 500 every single month. And then not only that, but if you read the Market Wizards books, you realize that a lot of these these legends in the industry not only are hyper-focused on return, but also volatility within those returns. So they're trying to get the maximum amount of monthly return at the lowest amount of volatility on the downside. And I forgot what that was called. It's the there's a ratio that they have for that. I don't know if it's a Sharpe ratio, if I'm saying. Is that it, Josh?
I'm not too sure. It could be Sharpe or VAR, but I don't know.
Yeah, anyway. Okay. So I wanted to set up this new portfolio. And by the way, these portfolios, they're model portfolios, but it's real money. It's not like I'm paper trading. I put $100,000 in each. So that was really the genesis for coming back to St. Bart's to sit down with Steve and really kind of pick his brain, because he is someone that's quite literally been trading in markets very successfully, making and managing billions of dollars since the mid-1980s. I mean, he is one of the absolute best in the business. He is the definition of a legend. Every single person that you've heard about and read about in books Steve knows them very, very well. And I would argue probably Steve did a lot better than they did as far as his compounded returns over the years. So just a wealth of knowledge is the bottom line. And so let's go over some of the things that we've been discussing over the last couple of days. The first thing is applicable to Tesla, because as you guys know, one of Steve's main long positions has been TLT, and he actually switched that up the last time that I was here. But he was very interested in going short Tesla, which he did. And that was maybe a month ago, something like that. So but what he'll do first and foremost, as far as a strategy, is he'll set up a long-term position. So as an example, right now he's got three main long-term positions. He's got short Tesla, long TLT, and long NVIDIA. But then what he likes to do is trade around these, but it's very disciplined, right? So as an example, I was talking to him about Tesla yesterday. And he said, there's no way I'm trading it this week. And I said, okay, why is that? He says, because they're coming out with earnings. And he goes, that's a retail game. He goes, that's gambling. That's not what I do. He goes, you might as well just take a spin on the local slot machine. He goes, you never know what Musk is going to, especially Musk. He goes, you never know what he's going to say. You never know how the market's going to respond to it. So he's like, I just sell out of all my positions except for the long term position. And just wait and see. And he goes, usually I won't even trade a day or two, maybe sometimes 3 days after they come out with earnings, because I just want to let the retail investor just play around with all the volatility and try to decide which way it's going to go and just let things settle in and let them get whipsawed around. And then I come in after it settles back down to a point where it's a little bit more predictable. So on that note, let's go over and check out. I know Josh told me before going live that Tesla did report. So we'll go over here and check this out. So Josh can, I don't think I did a screen share. Let me go back and do that. Okay, going back to CNBC, we've got headline, Tesla reports biggest revenue slide since 2012. Announces renewed push for affordable model. Key talking points. Tesla reported a 9% drop in revenue in the first quarter, the steepest year-over-year decline, I want to emphasize that word, since 2012. The company's stock is down more than 40%. But as Josh pointed out, and this is exactly what Steve, because you read that headline, and what do you think the stock did? Obviously, you would have said the stock tanked. It completely collapsed, yet not. The stock did the exact opposite. And who knows how it plays out tomorrow. But after hours, so far, the stock is up on that news 8.24%, $11. So look at this chart. So they come out with horrible, horrible earnings, yet the stock just ripped. And this is exactly, exactly why Steve said he was not playing this earnings call. He says, you just never, ever do that. He says, just don't do it. And, he could have got the call right, but the market's response would have been completely, completely wrong. And he says, especially when you're dealing with a cult type stock, he goes, you just never know. And he goes, usually, because I talked to him about Truth Social as well. And obviously, we kind of chuckle about it and get a kick out of it. But he's like, no, I'd never, ever, ever short that. He goes, I know it's a zero. I mean, everybody knows it's a zero. But he goes, you just don't do that. He goes, you're going to lose money over the long run, even if you somehow get lucky and get it right the first couple times. He goes, quite frankly, he goes, I wouldn't even be in Tesla. He goes, the only reason I'm in Tesla is because the bear side of the argument is so strong. And now it's the hype around Tesla in the mainstream media has gone down to a point where it's investable, or, on the short or the long side, whatever. But he said back when it's still like a meme stock, he goes, you just can't touch it with a 10-foot pole. And again, this is, we're seeing evidence play out in real time, exactly what he was saying. So lesson learned right there. And this is one of the main reasons I'm here. I truly believe that trading, after listening to the Market Wizards books, is something that can be learned, but it can't be taught. That was one of the profound statements that I heard, I believe it was in hedge fund managers or something like that. It's trading can be learned, but it can't be taught. And you got to get out there and do it. But hopefully this, to a certain degree, really helps me reduce my learning curve and make a lot fewer mistakes than I otherwise would have. Now you say, George, I'm not a trader. This isn't applicable to me. I just want to buy gold or silver or Bitcoin and just set it and forget it. I don't have to worry about all this nonsense. And that's totally cool. I understand that. You've got maybe some different objectives than someone else. But to understand, even if you don't utilize these concepts, just to understand them and to really understand how these legends think, there's no way it can't help you. And there's just no way, even if you're not utilizing these strategies, even if it's just understanding human psychology better and then using that in your everyday life or using that to build your position in gold or build your position in Bitcoin or whatever it is. These are concepts that are built around human psychology that I think are just invaluable on multiple different levels. And so just let me go out there and lose my mind. Look, this 100,000, I mean, it's one of those things that it's like gambling in a casino. Like whenever I used to play blackjack and all that stuff, but now when I go to the casino, if I do with my buddies, you know, you're there doing tequila shots and everything. You're not focusing on having an edge and counting cards and all these things. So whatever I take to the casino, let's say you take $5,000 or something like that, you just assume that you're going to lose it. And if you somehow walk away from the casino with like $4,000 and you only lose $1,000, that's a big win. I mean, that's a huge win. So that's exactly how I'm looking at this new model portfolio that's a little bit more short term, but it's just getting those lessons and going to the school of hard knocks. So when you come out the other side, you learn all the things that just can't be taught. And if you guys go along with me on that journey, hopefully you can benefit from that without having to lose $100,000 like I'm going to lose. All right.
Hey guys, I want to invite each and every one of you to join me May 31st through June 2nd in Orlando for Rebel Capitalist Live. This is the annual conference I do, and this year it's going to be absolutely incredible. We're going to have some of your favorites there as speakers, guys like Jeff Snyder, Mike Green, The Real Estate, Kenny McElroy. We're going to have Robert Barnes. They're talking about freedom and liberty. Even Rich Cooper is going to be there discussing red pill issues. This event is all about giving you the intel, the insider information you need to not only survive 2024, but thrive. The whole reason I created this event was to give you the tools you need to build the future you deserve for yourself and your family. This is an event you are not going to want to miss. So to get more information, go to rebelcapitalistlive.com. You can see a full list of speakers we've had in the past. You can see clips from past events. And most importantly, you can get your tickets. As we get closer to the event, the tickets go up in price. So you're going to want to get those ASAP at rebelcapitalistlive.com. And we will see you in Orlando, May 31st through June 2nd.
Let's see. Next thing here, there was tons and tons and tons of stuff that I wrote down that I wanted to share with you guys. Let's go to the next chart, which is USO. I talked about this way back in, it would have been when oil was tanking. So that was March, April, 2020. I was talking about this on some videos. And I think I first learned about this from my buddy, Eric Townsend. And I can't remember whether it was an interview that I did with Eric, where I had him on my channel, or maybe I was just listening to Macro Voices or some, I think it was maybe me interviewing him. But anyway, he was talking about how it's very, very difficult to actually make money with an oil, with USO. Is this USD? Oh, USD. Okay, I got it. Yeah, that's USO. Okay. Because when the curve is in extreme contango, what's happening is the fund is having to roll those contracts over each month at an increasing price. And therefore they're losing that money. So you can start off with $100, let's say, but if you got to roll that contract every single month at a slightly higher price, pretty soon you're going to run out of money unless the oil price really, really goes up. And then even if it does, you're not going to make as much money as if you would have just like bought a barrel of oil and put it in your garage and then just sell it. Not that you could do that, but you guys get what I'm saying. So, and I'm saying that correctly, aren't I, Josh? When it's in contango, that means the curve is steep. And what's in backwardation, that means the curve is basically inverted.
The people in the comments are saying that you're right.
I'm right?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I thought. So inverted is basically backwardation. So that's it's basically like the inversion of the curve, where that's kind of an anomaly. Because usually what would happen is the forward contracts would be at a higher price because of additional costs of like storage is a perfect example, that even if the price stays the same, you're going to incur cost to store these barrels of oil for the next 6 months or whatever. So you're charging a bit of a premium there, just like in an interest rate curve, you're going to charge more, a higher interest rate, the longer the maturity, because you increase the risk. I mean, the exact same concept. So when you have this extreme contango, then that's when these funds or ETFs like USO are just getting clobbered. So right now, and then when you see this range that it's been just really quite a unbelievable range here, or unbelievably tight range, I should say, going all the way back to maybe 2022. So one of Steve's favorite things here is just to collect premium on just selling puts and calls, and then probably doing that with a call spread. We'll be getting into that more on Friday, but just basically collecting premium and then based on resistance and support levels. And one thing about technical analysis, as far as Steve, he just keep it super simple. He doesn't like moving averages, doesn't the 50, the 100, the 200. We went over all that stuff. He's like, yeah, he just doesn't really like it. But the one thing he does really like are the support and the resistance levels. And he puts quite a bit of weight on that. And also as far as the from start to finish, his sequence is as follows here. So you guys might want to write this down. First and foremost, so actually for this, let's go to a Tesla chart so you guys can see what I'm talking about, get a visual of what I'm talking about. Oh, shoot, I'm bouncing around here. Josh, remind me to go back to Nat Gas.
Okay.
I'll just write that down. Okay, but first let's go to Tesla. Okay, so if we're looking at Tesla, let's just do a 1 year. We're looking at a lot of 1 year charts today. And so we're going to start, or what he does is he starts with a long-term view. So his long-term view is a fundamental view, macro view, whatever you want to call it, for Tesla is short. It's going down. So then once we establish a long-term view, and this can be on the dollar, this can be on commodities, this can be on, you know, anything, but that's where you start. And then you look for a trend. So one of the things he told me today is he's like, look, he goes, retail always is looking for tops and bottoms. Always, always, always. Or he says retail is always just like buying the dip or something. He goes, pros don't do that. He goes, pros just look for a trend. That's it. He goes, they just look for a trend. And, you know, when I look at that through the lens of my trip, well, when I was with Chris McIntosh and talking to some guys out there, it's just so true. And even people like Jim Rogers that would never, ever, ever, ever call themselves a trend follower. Effectively, that's what they're doing. Now, I would say Jim Rogers is more about finding bottoms and tops, but he's doing that in a way where there's just such an extreme catalyst, a fundamental catalyst. And then he's doing that very few times. The probability when he does it is extremely high. But what's most important is the asymmetry in the bet. This goes back to the analysis we were doing with the binomial calculator. If you guys remember that video from last week where I was talking about the different levers that you can pull, and you've got three. You've got probability of being right and wrong. You've got asymmetry, win-loss, and then you've got the number of bets that you can actually do. In other words, the law of large numbers. So if you can only do 10 bets, you've got to increase the lever on the probabilities or the asymmetry of the win-loss. Now, if you can increase the number of bets, let's say from 10 to 10,000, now you can pull down the probability of being right, and you can also pull down the asymmetry. Or if you've got to pull down the probability, then you've got to increase the asymmetry, assuming the number of bets stays the same. So what Jim Rogers does, you know, obviously just subconsciously, he's probably never thought of it this way, but what he does is he pulls down the numbers. So then what he has to do is he cranks up the probabilities to an extreme high based on these huge catalysts that he looks for. And then the asymmetry is probably even higher. So for every bet that he makes, he's probably risking, you know, a dollar, and he's probably got a potential gain of, let's say, 100. That's what you have to do if you're pulling down the number of attempts. See, but anyway, that was going back to the binomial calculator. So when you look at this idea of picking tops and bottoms, it's just a fool's game. And it's typically, in his experience, where the retail investor starts. And he goes, this is what really differentiates retail from pro. Retail, trying to find tops and bottoms. Pro, just looking for a trend. That's it. And so then when he'll look for the trend, once he sees, and if he doesn't see a trend, he won't do anything, even if he's got the long-term view. So let's just say that his long-term view on Tesla was short, but he didn't see a specific trend. He wouldn't do anything. He'd just like follow it. He'd put it on his watch list. And then once he starts to see a trend that's established based on candlesticks and then the chart, then he'll go ahead. And the next step after he has the trend is looking at the technicals, the resistance, support, etc. And that's pretty much, I shouldn't really say etc. because that's pretty much it. And then what he'll do after he looks at the technicals is he'll decide how to place the bet. So do I want to just, if I'm short, do I want to just buy a put? Or if I'm long, do I just want to buy a call? Or do I want to do a spread? So what he'll look at is the volatility in the options market. And if the volatility is high, it might be well worth his while to collect the premium. But if the volatility is low, then there's not going to be as much of a premium to collect. And then it's not going to be worth your time. And if you're not following this totally, don't worry about it at all, because I'm going to be going over the specifics on Friday. And then we'll go over what he does lastly is where to place the bet. So let's just say that you're doing a call spread. Okay, at what price are you selling and at what price are you buying and why? And then that usually goes back to the technical analysis that was done in, we'll call it step number three out of the five. Okay, going back to Nat Gas. I'm pretty proud of myself. I remembered that without even having to look down at my notes. That's good. Usually I always talk about, you know, we're going to get right back to that. I never remember to go back. Okay, so let's go to like a 10-year chart and just unbelievably cheap. So longer term, Steve was very bullish on Nat Gas for obvious reasons, but he was having a hard time taking a long position in the futures market because, and don't quote me on this, what I understood is that the curve is in such massive contango that let's just say you could buy a 1 month contract at $1.83, but 6 months, a year, when you actually are betting on the price going up, it's like, just let's say it's at $2.50 or $3 or something like that. So you've not only got to be right on the direction, you've got to be really, really right. And so again, that's not really a game you wanted to play. So oddly enough, he was thinking about taking a short position on the USO version of Nat Gas, which I did not write down the ticker, but he ended up not doing that because the market maker spread was too extreme. I'm guessing because of the volatility. So the bid and ask was so extreme on the options that he would have had to pay like 20% just to make the bet. And he's like, I'm not paying 20% for that. That I'm painting myself into a corner, or I'm stacking the odds against me to a point where the bet doesn't make sense. And I mean, that's something that, I mean, how many amateurs or how many retail investors would ever think about that? Just almost zero, right? And when you think about putting trading in terms of blackjack and probabilities and using that binomial calculator and all the stuff that we talk about, it just makes sense as to why very, very few people win at this game. But the people that do are always thinking about stacking the deck in their favor. And if the deck isn't stacked in their favor, they just flat out don't play. They just don't play. And that's one of the main takeaways from the last couple days. Going back to USO, let's see, where was that? Here we go. Another lesson here along the lines of Tesla is when we have the issue with Iran and Israel, and you guys know what's been happening from a geopolitical standpoint, most, I think, retail investors are prone to jump in and, oh my gosh, Iran is dumping missiles and drones on Israel. Oh my gosh, Israel attacked the Iranian consulate in Syria or whatever it was. Or, oh my gosh, Israel is now bombing or launching missiles at Iran, and then the retail investor kind of gets caught up in all the commotion and is like, oh my gosh, oil is going to go to the moon. Bye, 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 bye. Like Jim Cramer. Whereas it seems like the pros, at least Steve, will do the opposite. If he see, and I thought that was interesting because he's been doing this premium and trading USO for like over a year and a half. Like constantly, this every single week, putting on another position. And but when they had the conflict in the Middle East really escalate, based on what we've seen the last couple of weeks, he actually does the opposite of the retail investor from a standpoint, as he stops and he closes out all of his positions, and he does nothing, just to wait to see how it plays out. And then again, just like Tesla, just let the retail investor sit there and whipsaw, or get whipsawed back and forth with all the volatility. And then he waits till things settle down, and then he goes back in. All right. So hope you enjoyed that, guys. This last 2 days have just been absolutely mind-blowing. It's just such an incredible experience. And I'm really looking forward to not just the rest of this week, but like the next 10 days I'm going to be here just going through these downloads with just some guys that are just legends in the business. So I'm very, very fortunate. And if you want to partake in the webinar, the kind of the deep dive I'll do on everything I've learned this week, go ahead and sign up for that. Well, you don't have to sign up for the webinar. You just go to Rebel Capitalist Pro and you can sign up for like a $1 trial. And then you'll see a link to click on the private live stream that we do for members. And again, that'll be Friday, 2 p.m. Eastern time. So to check that out, you can go to georgegamma.com/pro. On that note, guys, enjoy the rest of your afternoon. As always, make sure that you're standing up for freedom, liberty, free market capitalism. We'll see you in the next video.